Mark chapter number 10 is where we're going to be this morning. I want to dive right in. In fact, I want you to go straight to your handout, all right, if you could. And I want to talk about what is leadership. What is leadership? Leadership is influence. I want you to write that in right off the bat. Leadership is influence, all right? So let's write that in. Bring it up on the screen for me, please. There we go. Leadership is influence, all right? And influence is the ability to move another person in a direction that you believe is important. And that's what it is. So you think about people in your life that that had influence in your life. Think about that. Some people use their influence to move another person in the wrong direction. Well, that's called bad leadership. Most of the kings of the Old Testament, most of the kings of Israel are examples of bad leaders. Why? Because they move people in the wrong direction. They move the nation away from God to idolatry. And so they were bad leaders. They move people in the wrong direction. Good leaders use their influence. And all of you in here probably have, think about this. You know, I'm not a leader. If you have influence over anybody's life, you're a leader. Because leaders have influence. So like if you've got influence over your kids, your grandkids, people at work, a neighbor, a friend, you know, a niece, a nephew, someone, right, that you have influence over. Maybe it's not great influence, but there's some influence, then you're somewhat of a leader in their life. Good leaders use their influence to lead others in a good and healthy direction. Good leaders influence other people and they lead others towards God, towards God's ways, towards God's word, towards Jesus. So think about in your life who has influenced you. Think about, in fact, there's questions on the back of the handout we give you every week that are there to provoke thinking. We want you to think when you come to Crossroads. We don't want you to just be passive in listening. We want the Word of God to change your life. So we give you questions on the back to either think through or journal through during the week. And one of the questions is, who have been some of the greatest leaders in your life? In other words, who are the people that have positively influenced you in your life? And then it asks the question, what made them a great leader? Why did they influence you? Maybe it's someone who influenced you to be saved and to trust Jesus. Maybe it's somebody who influenced you to make some really right choices at crossroads times in your life. Maybe it's people who influenced you to kind of rededicate your life. You knew the Lord, but you'd kind of gotten spiritually lazy, and so they kind of helped influence you to really serve the Lord. But think about the people in your life that have positively influenced you to make good choices, good decisions. What made them a great leader? What made them a great leader? Leadership is influence. And so, who are some people that you're able to influence? And how, it's a good question, it's in your handout, how would you describe your influence? So think about the people you have influence over. How would you describe your influence? Are you a godly influence? Are you an influence for Christ? Are you an influence that is influencing them towards good? You can't make them do right, but are you at least influencing them to do right and to do the right thing, to talk right, to behave right, to live right, to act right, to think right, you know, to treat women right, to treat others correctly? Think about that. Just think on it. You know, I just want to get your mind going in that direction right now. I want you to think about people in your past. There may have been people in your life that influenced you in a bad way. They were bad leaders in your life. And you can learn from that. God wants to take that, redeem that, and help you to become a better person. But think about people in your life that influenced you to do wrong. They influenced you to do evil, to go away from God, maybe, to make bad decisions in your life. So, by any definition that you want to give of a leader, would you guys agree with me that Jesus Christ was a leader like no other? Amen. Yeah. You know why, right? Because everybody who truly followed Christ became a better person because they followed Christ. That's what made him a great leader. He positively influenced people. But when we study Jesus' leadership style, we discover that Jesus taught and practiced a unique form of leadership. You see, Jesus was a great leader. He was the greatest leader that the world has ever known because he was the greatest follower that the world has ever known. Now, right away, you're like, Jesus was a follower? Jesus was a leader? He wasn't a follower? Oh, no. He was the greatest follower that the world's ever known. I want to bring a verse up. Look at John 4:34. Jesus said himself, he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." In other words, his heavenly Father. "And to finish his work." Not my work, his work. In other words, what he's saying there is that my sustenance, what I live for, is to follow the Father and what he has given me to do. And of course, he did that all the way to the cross. He followed the Father's plan. So Jesus was the greatest follower that the world has ever known, and of course, the greatest leader. Jesus had great power, but he never abused that power or used that power for his own self-will, for his own glory, or for his own selfish personal advancement or his own cause. Jesus had great power, but that power was under control. And many times I think that when we think of leadership, we think of somebody who does their own thing. They're a leader, man. They do their own thing. They only consult themselves, and they set their own direction, and they use other people to accomplish their goals, and other people serve the leader. But that was not Jesus' concept of leadership. If we're going to be leaders in Christ's kingdom, we have to lead like Jesus. So what does that look like? In Mark 10:42 through 45, which is what our text will be today, we're going to look at this verse by verse, and we're going to see what Jesus taught about how to be a leader like him. So the first thing he does in verse 42 is he says, okay, this is what my leadership style does not look like. He says, this is what it's not going to look like. So look at verse 42, and let's grab hold of this. "But Jesus called them together." Called us the 12 is the context. He calls the 12. He said, "You know that those who are appointed to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great ones," extra kind of tongue in cheek there, right? Great ones in men's eyes. "Great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you." So he right away tells them, okay, this is what a godly leadership style does not look like. And he basically explains to them the world's idea of leadership. So it's in your handout. I gave you three thoughts there right from that verse. Three things Jesus taught about a worldly leadership style. Number one, he says it's all about ruling over people. Ruling over people. That's the first thing I want you to write in. He says they rule over them. This means that you're first in rank or power. You beat your chest, right? You beat your own chest. You're number one. I'm number one. You ever see football players make a tackle or they score a touchdown and they go around beating their chest? And I always look at that and go, you know, you're getting paid millions to do that. You shouldn't be surprised when you make a tackle. I love Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders he never would spike it or do all that junk. Barry Sanders would go in, one of the greatest running backs ever. He'd score a touchdown and just go hand the ball to the official. People are like, why do you do that? He says, I just like to act like I've been there before. I like to act like I've been there. It's not a big deal. I do this all the time, right? But in the NFL, it's like they sack the quarterback, which they're getting paid to do. That's their job, and they act like they've done some heroic thing, and they beat their... Give me a break. It's like, that's your job, man. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Act like you've done it before, you know? But ruling over people. Second thing is controlling people. That's the second thing, controlling people. He says they lord it over them. To lord over means to subjugate, to put someone under your thumb. You lord over them. It means you control them. Maybe you have someone in your life, in your past, or maybe even right now, that they try to control you. They try to control your thinking, your actions. They try to lord over you. They try to take the influence or leadership in their life, but they use it in a bad way to try to just control and manipulate you and lord over you. Maybe you've had a friend that has done that, just real very controlling of you. Maybe you've had a boss do this, or a spouse, or a mother-in-law. I don't want to cause any problems here right now. A lot of elbows going right now. All right, so he says the worldly leadership style is lording over, trying to control people. And then the third thing is selfishly dominating people. He says they exercise authority over them. In other words, you use people to advance yourself. You don't think anything about it, and the world doesn't. You know, they step on people to climb the ladder. You ever feel like somebody used you for their own advancement?
Yes.
You ever feel like somebody used you for their own cause, their own agenda? That's what Jesus is talking about when he says they exercise authority over them. You use people to get where you want to be. So, to summarize, some synonyms for the worldly leadership style is dominate, bully, control, manipulate. You use your position to get what you want. That's the world's way of thinking. Now, there's exceptions out there for sure. There's some good guys and good ladies that are great leaders. But pretty much, that's what you have in the world. It's kind of a dog-eat-dog, survival of the fittest. I'm going to use my position to get what I want. You think that happens in the workplace? Think it happens in the home? You think people in the home use other family members to get what they want?
Yeah.
I wonder, you think it ever happens in politics? It happens, right? It happens. People take their position and they use it. But it not just politics. It happens everywhere. It happens in the home. It happens in churches. It happens everywhere, all right? And many times, leaders start out good and humble, and then they slowly become kind of maniacal and kind of crazy. And King Saul, right, he started out so humble. Who am I to be king of Israel? And then he, you know, a few years later, he becomes this maniac, ruthless dictator. Power went to his head. Look at verse 43. All right. So right after he describes this worldly leadership techniques, verse 43, he says, "But it shall not be so among you." So I want you to get the picture. Jesus is sitting in a circle probably with the 12 disciples. He's got Peter, James, John, Thomas, Philip, Judas Iscariot, all of them are sitting there. And he's got them in a circle. And Jesus looks at them all because, by the way, they'd been arguing over who was going to be the greatest. That's the context. So they were really full of themselves, you know, and they were like really thought leadership was being over everybody else. And so Jesus gets them in a circle, and Jesus kind of gives them a leadership lesson, and he's like, "Hey guys," he says, "you know, in the world out there, those who are appointed to rule over the Gentiles, they lord it over them." He says, "And their great ones exercise authority over them." And then I don't know, but I think Jesus probably paused, because they're probably all shaking their head. Yeah, that's what we see. And then he looks at them all and he says, "But it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so among you." In other words, this leadership style isn't going to work in my kingdom. This isn't going to work in my realm. They may do it out in the world, and they may make a lot of money doing it, but their lives are wrecked. Their lives are a train wreck. Their relationships are a train wreck. They don't have any true friends because they're just walking over people. So he says, "You know what? In my kingdom, in my realm, this isn't going to work." And Jesus Christ, you know, he was such an example. In fact, if you look at this verse up here, Philippians 2, he says, "Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others." He says, "Let this mind be in you all, which was also in Christ Jesus." Well, what was the mind of Christ? Let's go to the next verse. He says, "Who being in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." It wasn't something that he said, "I'm going to hang on. I'm equal with God. I'm God in the flesh. I'm going to hang on to this." No, it says he emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. And then it goes on to say, "And being found in the form of a man, he what? He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." We never see Jesus using his power and authority to selfishly rule over other people. This is the man that washed the disciples' feet. So what he does is, he says, this is the way the world looks at leadership, by and large. There's exceptions, but this is by and large how they look at it. He says, "Now, that's not going to work in my kingdom. So let me tell you what leadership does look like. Remember, leadership is influence. So let me show you what it does look like. So let's look at it, all right? Look at your handout. Number one, there's three things. Jesus' leadership style, what does it look like? Number one, you lead others with a servant's heart. In verse 43, look at it with me. Look at it with me. He says, "But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your what, church?
Servant.
Your servant." A great leader is a servant leader. A servant leader. Let me make one thing really clear right now, because there could be some misunderstanding. This does not mean that a leader is a pushover. And this doesn't mean the leader gives everybody what they want. Did Jesus give everybody what they wanted, yes or no?
No.
Parents, do you give your kids everything they want? If anyone says yes, I want to be your kid. I want to be your kid. No. No. You know what a parent does? A parent doesn't always meet, he doesn't always meet felt needs, but true needs. A great leader is the same way. A great leader doesn't always meet people's felt needs, but a good leader meets their true needs. So, like a parent, you know, your child may have a felt need. Like your child comes to you, "Mom, I'm hungry, and I just have a sweet tooth, and I'm craving something sweet, and it's 15 minutes before supper. I just want one of them cupcakes. I have a need. I need a cupcake. I need a Twinkie." All right, so as a parent, are you going to meet their felt need or their true need? Probably their true need, unless you're a real pushover, all right? You're probably going to meet their true need, which is to wait until supper and eat your supper, and then maybe we can talk about dessert. And see, great leaders do that, but they're servant leaders. Doesn't mean they give everybody everything they want, but they meet true needs. Jesus was a great leader because his life was characterized by servanthood. He gave people their true needs. I want you to look at this verse up here. It says, "Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom." That's maybe not what they wanted to hear, but he knew that's what they needed. So he preached the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And then it goes on to say, "But when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they fainted, and they were scattered like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus Christ was constantly ministering to the sheep, not felt needs, but true needs. The apostles are a great example. After the resurrection, Acts chapter number 3, the Holy Spirit's come in Acts 2. Acts 3, they're walking in front of the temple. And so they're walking like this in front of the temple. And there's this guy, he's a panhandler, and he's out there, you know, got his can, whatever, and he wanted money. And the apostles stop, and they look at him, and they said, here's what they said to him. They said, "Silver and gold, we can't help you with that. Can't help you with money." And they said, but, and then they perceived what the guy's true need was. He was paralyzed. He was crippled. And they perceived what his true need was, which ultimately he needed to know who Jesus was. And so in order for him to know who Jesus was, they heal the guy of his physical infirmity, and he gets up, and he leaps, and he walks. And so the apostles, rather than giving him his felt need, they said, "Nope, can't help you there, but we can meet your true need." And guess what? That man came to know Jesus Christ. Christ-like leaders are that way. Doesn't matter how smart we are, doesn't matter what, you know, how much Bible we know, if we don't love and care for people, we can't lead like Christ. But let me give you the second thing. Number two, verse 44 is what it's going to be. In fact, let's read the verse first. Verse 44, it says, Jesus went on to say, "And whoever among you would be greatest." Remember, they're arguing over who would be the greatest. He said, "Whoever among you would be greatest must be servant of all." I want you to write that in your handout, that word all. You see, that's the second thing. Is Jesus said, your servant's heart should lead you to serve all. And what that means is that somebody with a servant's heart they don't pick and choose who they're going to serve. Or they don't just serve people who are, quote, worthy of their service. That isn't the issue. We're serving as unto the Lord. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciples in the upper room at the Last Supper, when Jesus Christ, were the 12, Peter, James, and John, and Thomas, and Judas Iscariot, were these men, did they earn that? Was that like something they deserved? Were they worthy to have the Son of God wash their dirty, nasty feet, yes or no?
No.
That wasn't the issue, whether they were worthy to be served. He just served. Even Peter, prideful Peter, who was so full of himself, he even got that figured out. He's like, this ain't right. Jesus starts washing his feet, and Peter's like, no, you're not doing that, Jesus. Which, Jesus kind of put him in his place and went ahead and did it anyway. But Peter's like, no, this isn't appropriate. This isn't right, man. This isn't cool at all. You do not need to be washing my feet. So even Peter understood that he was not worthy for that. But your servant's heart leads you to serve all, whether you think they're worthy or not. Do you know what we're going to do in all of eternity? You ever think about that? What are we going to be doing up there? Some of you are like, I don't know. I guess we're going to float around on clouds and we're going to strum harps and we're going to sing real spooky, Aren't you thankful that is not what we're going to be doing? Let me show you a verse. This is in eternity. This is the last chapter of the Bible. It's Revelation 22:3. And at the very end of the Bible, it says, there shall be no more curse. Okay, all that's gone. And it says, the throne of God and of the Lamb, Jesus, the throne of God and Jesus shall be in it. And it says, and his servants shall what?
Serving.
We're going to be serving in eternity. Yeah, serving. So why? What's there to serve? Oh, dude, it's going to be unlike anything you've ever seen. Just this earth, there's going to be a new earth created from this earth, and there's going to be cities and kings and nations, and there's going to be a need for serving and ruling, and there's going to be a need for leaders, and then there's going to be a whole heavenly government that's going to have to be overseen. The whole angelic governmental system is going to be overseen by us. The Bible says we'll be ruling angels. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. We're going to be serving. We're going to be productive. We're not going to be floating around on a harp strumming. We're going to be doing useful stuff, serving the Lamb, serving Jesus. And I believe that our position of service in eternity is going to be determined by our level of service here on earth. In other words, our time right now here on earth is like practice for what we're ultimately going to be doing for all eternity. So how are you doing with this serving thing? Remember, leadership is influence. And you don't influence people by bossing them around and selfishly dominating them. You influence people by serving, being a team player, and when the fruit of the Spirit, which we talked about all year, and those notebooks are coming, they're going to be printed this month, but when the fruit of the Spirit begins to ripen in your life, you want to serve. It's something natural. You just want to do it. Now look, you don't lead and influence others by sitting around being served. Now look, we all love to be served. Thus, the reason the restaurants are always full. We like to be served. We like to go into a building, sit down at a table, have somebody come and cater to our wants and our needs. Somebody else cook the meal, somebody else bring it to us, somebody else clear the table, somebody else clean all the dishes, and we just get up and walk out. Well, hopefully you pay your bill. But we like to be served. We like that. And there's a time for that. There's a time for that. There's a time to have special occasions, or if you're sick, if you're tired, if you're weary, sometimes there's a need to be served. But I just want to remind you, you don't lead, you don't become a great leader, and you don't influence other people by sitting around being served. You influence others by serving. So we have to be careful about this, that we don't forget what Jesus said true greatness is. True greatness is not found in spectating, but serving. Jesus said that being a great leader, means that you're not a spectator, you're a servant of all. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. What if Jesus would have said, can you imagine this? I mean, just imagine this. Think about this. We do communion because of the Last Supper. You know, we did communion a few weeks ago, and we imagine for a minute if they're going to get ready to have the Last Supper in the upper room, and Jesus is like, you know what? I got a lot going on, you guys. Hey, you guys meet. Go ahead, go to the upper room, get everything taken care of, have the Last Supper. I'm going to watch and participate with you guys remotely. Just zoom me in. I'll be there for the meeting. Zoom me in. You know what? If that would have happened, would he have been able to serve them by washing their feet? Yes or no? That story, that amazingly incredible story, would have never occurred. What's the point? I'm not against technology. I'm all for it. I think it's great. I think it's awesome that we got these cameras. I think it's awesome that we can, shut-ins, people who can't get here, people who live out of town, you know, that want to be a part of Crossroads still, and you know, people who are sick and so forth, and they just can't get here. I think the technology's awesome. My only point is this, is that Jesus had to be there in person in order to serve them and impact their lives. And there's just certain things you can't do remotely or through Zoom. There's certain things you just have to be there in order to impact lives. Are y'all with me? Do you understand that, what I'm saying? If you understand, kind of say, yeah, I get it, yeah. So maybe. And I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, you know, because you guys are here, and I'm thankful that you're here, because it must be important to you to be here, or you wouldn't be here. And I'm very thankful for that, and I'm thankful we're seeing those, you know, numbers coming back now. And again, I'm not against technology. There's some people that just can't be here, and I think that it's awesome that we have that capability today. But just remember, Jesus could have never washed their feet if he would have just tried to be in that meeting any other way other than in person. He had to be there. And if we're going to serve our church family, if we're going to serve, like Jesus, each other, we're going to have to make that a priority. Let me give you the last thing. Number three, you serve by sacrificing. And that's found in verse 45, where he said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." You know what Jesus was? Was Jesus a giver or a taker? Well, he was a giver, wasn't he? He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life on the cross. What should be our response? Well, our response ought to be, we want to give back. We've got some people in each service we've been having some testimonies from that are serving here at Crossroads as volunteers. We had one at 8. Now we got Matt. Where's Matt at? Come on up here, Matt. Where you at? Come here, buddy. This is Matt Conrad. Give him a hand. All right. You got a mic? All right. You know what? I think they want me to use this one, so I don't want to make everybody mad at me on my birthday. All right, there you go. This is Matt Conrad. Matt serves in our children's ministry. Matt, share what God's laid on your heart.
Appreciate it. Probably don't need a microphone, but earlier in Mark chapter 10, I want to share a quick story about what Jesus thought about children. In Mark 10, 13 through 15, the disciples turned away people who wanted to bring small children up. And he said, "No, allow them to come, because for such is the kingdom of God. And whoever will not enter in to the kingdom as a child with a childlike faith, they can't enter in." And so, you know, Jesus thought very highly of children. And I want to share quickly two blessings of being in the children's ministry and about our children's ministry here at Crossroads. And the first one is, and it's the greatest blessing of all, our children that come to church every week, they get preached the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to save, as it says in Romans. And every week, children hear the gospel message. The little angels, they come in, we tell them that they're little sinners. We tell them the truth, you know. It's a sin to lie, it's a sin to steal, and especially it's a sin to disobey your parents. And we encourage them that even though we are sinners, Christ died for our sins and rose again. And if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will save us. And children need to be saved as well, because as Jesus said in our passage, "For such is the kingdom of God." And we encourage a right relationship with God through Christ, and we tell them how to do that. Secondly, we make the Bible come alive. And you know, that's the great thing about preaching to children and doing Bible stories. It's the greatest way to instill life lessons and have faith in their little hearts. Whether we're, like we did a few weeks ago, talk about David and Goliath and the courageous faith of David and God to overcome that giant. Or as we're getting ready to do a new series about the Apostle Paul and the missionary travels, talking about God's word and all the stories in the Bible, it encourages them. It makes it real. We try to make it relevant to them and increase their faith. And so those are the two blessings I want to share. Now, I want to share why would we participate? Why should you join Crossroads and serve the Lord in the children's ministry? Well, honestly, we always need workers, but ministering to children also gives you a blessing. Yeah, they're loud, they're noisy, sometimes they can be a little whiny, but you know what? Children challenge our faith. They challenge us to be a good example. They increase our faith, and it's an investment in the kingdom of God. It's an investment in eternal rewards that you get. And then finally, we do have a great team, a staff and volunteers that serve the Lord together. Not to mention, you get free candy too. So I've been partaking of that a little too much for sure. But you know, the Bible says in Psalm 127, children are a gift from God, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It's a reward, you know. And I want to encourage you that have children. If you have babies in the nursery, serve in the nursery once a month. If you have children in the ministry, I know many of us have done that. We serve in the classrooms because our children are there. Whether it be once a month or every week, there's something for everybody to do in the children's ministry. I want to encourage you to be involved. You know, just a few days ago, I was picking up my children from school, and I have a very noticeable car that has bugs all over it. I run a pest control company. And the children across the street were waving at me, "Hey, Brother Matt, Mr. Matt." And I said, I said hi to him, you know, it was encouraging. They said, "He is cool," one of them said that. I thought, man, I run a company with adults. I am not cool to them. I have four children, two of them are adults and two of them are teenagers. I'm definitely not cool to them. There's not very many people in my life that I'm very cool to. So it is a blessing to serve children and to be involved in children's ministry. So I want to encourage you to do that and for the kingdom of God, of course.
Amen. Whew. That's good, Matt. Thank you. Yeah, children's ministry is great. I love it. You know, my kids have heard all my jokes and they don't laugh at them anymore. But kids will laugh at you. It's just awesome. Thank you, Matt. Let me give you the last statement in your handout. It says that Christ-like leadership is when we're willing to give up rights and privileges that we could demand for the good and the benefit of others. And that's true leadership. Would you pray with me right now? Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our heart today about what true leadership is. And I want you to think about the people in your life that you could have a really good influence over. And I want you to ask yourself, am I being the positive influence that I can be for Christ? And I want you to ask God to help you. Ask God to help you today to be a true godly leader that leads others in a positive way towards God and towards His ways. Let's serve the Lord together.